Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring Giants players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
Giants third baseman Matt Duffy joins us each homestand.
I think when I'm going best is when I'm just staying short, trying to hit the ball right back up the middle and seeing it well.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by Toscalito Tire and Automotive, with four Marin locations, plus the marina in San Francisco and Vallejo. Toscalito, more than just a tire store. We're also brought to you by Tamron Lenses and Looking Glass Photo in Berkeley. They have the perfect lens for you. Today we were at Looking Glass Photo in Berkeley for our on-site podcast, and our special guest is Dan Dibley from 95.7 The Game. It's funny how things change so quickly in the baseball world, because one minute the Giants are hot, they have the most wins in baseball, that everybody thinks just everything's going great, even though they've had injuries. Then they run into the Oakland A's of all teams, and they look terrible. I mean, three straight wins for the A's, and especially the game that just happened on Wednesday. What a nightmare defensively. I mean, it didn't even look like a major league team out there. Mack Williamson, he's crashing into the second baseman, Pena, hurting his ankle. He's not making a catch at the wall. Angel Pagán's dropping a ball out by the warning track. And you also had the third baseman, the new third baseman, Ruben Tejada, dropping an easy pop-up in the infield. So the Giants didn't look like the Giants. So, you know, it's only one game, but
yeah.
And it's only three games against the A's, but how do they get over that?
Well, you try to get the win today, and then going forward, you realize you've got nine games until the All-Star break, and you try to focus on that. You get to a point where maybe you can get some positive momentum. It's been so good this year, even through the injuries, but now you've got Hunter Pence, obviously on the sideline, with the hamstring issue that he's had. You've got Joe Panik, who's now missing time. It's a little bit of a makeshift approach right now, and you have to realize that when you go makeshift, when you lean on Mack Williamson, when you get Ruben Tejada and just throw him right in the mix because you have to, you've got Gillespie, who needs to contribute. Jarrett Parker is looking for significant contributions. That's going to hurt your team, and it's just kind of a coincidence, I think, and maybe bad timing for Giants fans that it happened against the crosstown rivals, the A's, who have been so desperate for victory.
Yeah, the A's look hungry. They definitely have looked hungry in this series. I think, you know, you can get away with it for a while when you have injuries, and nobody's going to feel sorry for you. Look at the Dodgers. Clayton Kershaw just went on the DL. He's got a herniated disc in his back, so they're not feeling sorry for the Giants. And I think they were getting away with it for a while without Pence, Duffy being out, Matt Cain, Romo, but now it's starting to leak into everything. I mean, the bullpen has been kind of leaky without Romo. He's been out for a long time, but all of these guys, even Kelby Tomlinson could have been a valuable player to fill in right now. You're going to your deepest part of your depth to try to survive at this point. Maybe it's just catching up to the Giants. Can they survive this, though? Do they need reinforcements through trades before the trade deadline?
Well, the beauty of the trade deadline is that it comes after July is over. So you get into the summer and you really have the meat of the schedule, and you can see where you stand. They still have a six-game lead. Let's not jump to too many conclusions about panic or, you know, somebody here in the audience flashing a sign about the 62 Mets. Let's pump the brakes right. A little bit on any collapse talk. You can't collapse until you've built something that can collapse. When you're 70 games into a 162-game journey, you haven't yet built the sandcastle that could potentially be toppled by one rogue wave. You're still building it. You've got a nice lead. You've stolen games maybe you didn't, quote, deserve to win, because your offense has been extraordinary. Belt has been terrific. Buster Posey, a likely all-star again. Crawford took that next step. So many things have gone your way. The injury bug has hurt you, and now the crosstown rival is getting you. But you're still just one win away from righting the ship, and then you've got six games with Arizona before the break, and those games don't loom quite as large as you might have thought at the start of the year.
Things did really go well for this rotation. I got to admit, Dan, coming into the year, I figured, okay, Bumgarner, Cueto, we knew, you know, he's been a really good starter in his career. You know, he was a little shaky at times last year with Kansas City, but he righted the ship in the World Series. Samardzija, I didn't know about that signing. I mean, $90 million for a guy who wasn't really that good last year, and he turned out to be great for the Giants for a long time. Now he's kind of slipping a little bit lately. And then you've got Peavy, who was just terrible. Then he was pretty good. He wasn't good against the A's in that game yesterday. So, you know, this rotation has been kind of a roller coaster. I mean, Kane being out, Suarez filling in. You know, you just don't really know in the second half if it's going to be as good as it was overall. So far, first half, it's been better, I think, than I thought it was going
to
be.
Yeah, and you look at Jake Peavy, who's starting to turn things around. And, you know, last night, notwithstanding, he was victimized by some of the shoddiest. Yes, shoddiest. I didn't use the other S-H-E-ist because I know it's
you're
a family
you're
podcast.
You're not on terrestrial radio. You can do
no,
whatever
no,
you want.
No, it's old habits die hard. I would never want to disparage the good people here at Looking Glass Photography on Ashby Avenue in Berkeley. I wouldn't want to be the guy who comes in gutter mouth. The defense was so shoddy that I think his ultimate line looks a little uglier than it may have. If Williamson catches that home run ball or Angel Pagan doesn't make a meal out of multiple plays in left field. So I think he's trending in the right direction. Bumgarner is going to be Bumgarner. He's been unbelievable. Cueto has been maybe the best pitcher in the National League. So it doesn't really matter as much on the back end what's gone on. And it's bought Peavy some time because he's starting to pitch better.
More with Dan Dibley from Looking Glass Photo in Berkeley after this.
Hey, how'd you get those cool new shirts for the trade show so fast?
Access!
Who makes all that great clothing for high schools and colleges?
Access!
How do I get my company logo embroidered on some nice polo shirts?
Access!
Access Uniforms is your go-to resource for customized clothing. Just call us to find the right product, email your artwork, and your order will be on its way directly from our factory right here in Burlingame. Call Access Uniforms at 877-755-LOGO. That's 877-755-L-O-G-O.
Speaking of Bumgarner and his bat, a couple things about that. He is going to hit in the game tonight. We're doing this podcast here on Thursday. And in Oakland, Bumgarner, instead of using the DH, Bruce Bochy said, no DH. First time since 1976. He's going to have his pitcher hit. Nobody else has done that since 76. Bumgarner's that good. So what do you think of that, first of all? And secondly, what about him being in the home run derby? There's still talk about that. And the question of whether or not, you know, there's going to be risk versus reward for the Giants. Not much reward there. You know, maybe he wins the home run derby, but big risk if he gets hurt trying to swing too hard. Maybe an oblique pops on him.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to do the home run derby. I don't think there's ever been a question internally that he was going to do it. Of course, he'd like to entertain it. As for tonight and his stint batting in the American League ballpark, I think this is maybe the consolation for him not getting to be in the home run derby. This is maybe a tip of the cap from Bruce Bochy and management saying, you know what, we don't want to let you do the home run derby, but we're going to let you DH, or not DH, we're going to let you bat, and we will refuse the DH for one night. It's a big story. First time in nearly 40 years, you mentioned it, the late Ken Brett, and I looked up his box score today, by the way, on that day when he batted. It was September 26th. They were playing out the string. The White Sox were like 30 games below, and he went 0 for 3. So if Bumgarner can do better than 0 for 3, then he's ahead of the game. But more importantly, and you said it right off the top, the Giants need a victory. You don't want to get swept in the Bay Bridge Series, something that's never happened before, by the way, in the brief history of interleague play. You don't want it to start this way, especially if Bumgarner gets struck out 3 times.
What does it say, though, to the other players? I mean, I know publicly all the Giants players in that clubhouse are going to say, you know, we love Bumgarner, he's a good enough hitter and all that, but if you're a position player and you're not getting the shot at being the DH, and Buster Posey's going to catch Bumgarner, he DH'd yesterday, so you could have picked somebody else, though. I mean, you know, Parker or Williamson could have been a DH, or Blanco or Gillespie or somebody else could have been a DH, and they're not going to be a DH because Bruce Bochy's saying, you know what, he's better at the plate than you are, and I don't totally agree with that. I think he has a better home run swing. I don't know that he's going to be better, you know, give you a better at-bat as far as batting average than maybe a Gregor Blanco would if he was a DH.
Yeah, and we were making that point on the radio today on 95.7 that Bumgarner is basically a fastball hitter. He's not an accomplished, can hit every pitch, go up and battle hitter. He's a great hitter, but he hasn't had that experience every day of going out and being able to fight off-speed pitches or looking for a curveball in the first pitch. So there is some question about whether or not he can really succeed as a hitter, but as a one-off, especially after the performance you saw yesterday from the offense, pretty quiet right. Day against Sean Manaea, you're facing a sweep, and this is really one of the only opportunities he could get to be in this position to where he could hit for himself. So I say why not? And by the way, you've got that cushion, 6-game lead in the West, which is something that you can definitely kind of trade on in these odd situations.
We'll have more with Dan Dibley in our on-site podcast at Looking Glass Photo in Berkeley right after this.
You have to admit, collecting World Series titles is a new trend for the Giants, but at Toscalito Tire and Automotive, they've been winning since 1971 with quality tires and reliable auto and light truck repair at 6 Bay Area locations near you. Toscalito Tire and Automotive will take care of you like family, and they offer a nationwide warranty backed by the strength of the Goodyear Tire and Service Network. And unlike watching close Giants games, going to Toscalito equals a stress-free life. No torture at Toscalito Tire and Automotive. With 4 Marin locations, plus the Marina in San Francisco and Vallejo, Toscalito, more than just a tire store.
Let's talk a little bit about something that's a little off-topic as far as Giants, just baseball in general. The other day on the Comcast broadcast, there was a really nice sign from a girl saying that she was going to be the first girl to play Major League Baseball. You know, having kind of fun with that.
Uh-huh.
And I've been involved in a project for the last year that just became public, working with Francis Ford Coppola on co-ed baseball, professional baseball being co-ed. The Sonoma Stompers are involved in this. Tomorrow, Friday, it's going to be the first ever game since the 50s in the Negro League of co-ed baseball. Two women are joining the Stompers: Kelsey Whitmore, a 17-year-old outfielder pitcher from Temecula, California, and Stacy Piagno, who is a pitcher infielder from St. Augustine, Florida. They're going to be on the team. It's unbelievable that this is happening. It's going to be, you know, a real challenge for them.
Yeah.
So far from what I've seen being around the team, Dan, these guys that are on the team, they're accepting of it. How do you think the public accepts this? What do you think about the future of women trying to play baseball? They don't get a lot of opportunity to do it.
Well, it's going to take somebody to put up results, you know, and I think you've seen this in a lot of avenues when it comes to female sports. For example, MMA. Women's MMA people, and women's boxing before that, people were aghast at the idea of women inflicting punishment on each other. But once you realize that they train like the male boxers, they can box like the male boxers, it's athletic like the male boxers, you begin to strip away your own preconceived notions. Baseball should be a little bit easier because it's not seeing a woman get punched in the face, which can be a little bit jarring. MMA, when you see a woman, you know, basically bleeding out, and I know it's a family podcast, and this is my dalliance down to the dark side, but my point is that's more jarring to me than baseball. So if these young ladies, and 17 years old, playing pro baseball, I mean, that's a step for anybody, male or female. So it's really incumbent on her to not be overmatched. And I think if these young ladies show that you can compete, even if it's at this level, which is, you know, small independent league, still good, still fun, baseball, if they can compete, then I say more power to them.
Yeah, I'll give a little pop to the broadcast tomorrow, 5:45 p.m., BAOSN.TV, Bay Area Online Sports Network. Kate Rooney is going to be joining me as the reporter up there in Sonoma. And I will tell you, it's funny you mentioned about bleeding out. Kelsey Whitmore, we went to see her play. I went with Theo Fightmaster. He's the GM of the Sonoma.
I know Theo.
You know Theo? Yeah, Theo's doing a great job there up in Sonoma. And Theo and I went down to Temecula the first time that we saw Kelsey Whitmore play. Her first at-bat, she got drilled in the ribs. She was spitting up blood. And we're saying, okay, is she going to be able to continue? She stayed in the game. Tough kid.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a woman playing a man's game, supposedly, but she was competing on a high school team. She's on the high school team down there in Temecula. And the question I always get, Dan, and I'll ask you, is how come it's this way where women are just veered into softball? And, you know, they can play Little League Baseball, and then it's just a dead end. And you wonder, is that going to change?
That's fascinating. You know, it's kind of a double-edged sword, because if you're a young lady who's a good baseball player, and I've coached Little League, and I've had young girls on my team, both very good and average, mediocre, just like the boys. If you're an elite female baseball player and you get to high school, the lure of the scholarship is very powerful for softball.
Right.
So if you're a good hitter, you can play baseball, you go out to softball, you can compete, the ball's bigger, maybe you can mash just as well, and you're an elite softball player, you're much more likely to get a scholarship as a girl playing softball. So it's almost a leap of faith. It would take a unique situation of maybe a young lady who doesn't have to worry about a college scholarship deciding, I'm playing baseball, and even if I don't get a softball scholarship, I'm going to have fun playing baseball, and maybe I'll be good enough to then, I don't know, get drafted or play single A or play low A ball or maybe go that route. But it would take a unique situation, I think, for a young lady who was elite. Now, we're talking about an elite athlete. It would have to be obviously someone who could compete at that elite level with the right unique situation, as I described, it might work.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that because Kelsey Whitmore, who's going to be a part of this team, she has a scholarship, a full ride scholarship to play softball at Cal State Fullerton. She's going to do that. But she loves baseball. I mean, baseball is her first love. That avenue just is not there, though. Like right now, right. Like you said, if you don't have the scholarship opportunity, why would you do that? You
right. Know? And I wonder if playing baseball, even if it was semi-pro, if that would jeopardize her amateur status as a softball player.
It doesn't. She's actually not being paid by the Stomper, so that helps her. And it does not affect her as far as her eligibility. And for Stacy Piagno, she's already done with college, and you know it's fine for her. Stacy actually threw a no-hitter in the Pan Am games for Team USA. But, you know, you look at this U.S. team, and there's not that many women to choose from for the best U.S. players as far as women. You know, they just don't play a lot of baseball.
Yeah, and as you said, it's really when you get past that age of 12, you know, and it's hard because a lot of these young female ball players, that's when they start to change anyway. And the divide, you know, when you're 10 or 11, I have a 13 and a 15-year-old, and usually when your kids are younger, the boy-girl divide hasn't yet grown, especially on the athletic field. But as young ladies start to develop and mature, it's a little bit more of an awkward situation, even if that girl is the best player on your team.
That's Dan Dibley from 95.7 The Game and our on-site podcast at Looking Glass Photo. And that's just part one. Part two coming up on Friday. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.